Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melinda, and I'm a compulsive overeater and really beyond grateful to be with all of you today and for the invitation to share. As way of background, I've been in program 7 years. I came in, as I like to say, not on my knees and desperate, but I came in flat on my face, beyond desperate. I was in the middle of a divorce and fighting for what I felt was fair custody for my kids, and my weight was going up and up. And I was smart enough to know that if my weight got high enough, eventually I may get sick. And then if I got sick, I could ultimately die. And so I felt a little insane because on the one hand, I was fighting for this, for what I felt was the best custody for my kids. And yet I was also killing myself. And if I died, their dad would have them all the time. So I felt, you know, I was literally fighting with one hand and giving in on the other. And I didn't know what to do. And, you know, I'd lost hundreds of pounds over the years. You know, I knew how to lose weight and I knew how to gain weight back. At this time, I wasn't even losing weight. I was just gaining. And I, on a desperate night, I can't tell you how, I went onto my computer and typed OA in. And I had never heard of OA. I had gone to some AA meetings with friends at open meetings to support them. And I knew sugar was my alcohol because I'd actually given it up in the 90s for about 3 years because I thought, oh, I wish I was an alcoholic, which is an annoying thing to say, I'm sure, and I'm sorry, but it was how it felt because then I would just give it up. And I was like, well, you could just give up sugar. And I thought I was the first person that had ever had that idea. That's how unique I was. It turns out I wasn't. And I did give it up for about 3 or 4 years and my life actually got better, but I didn't have a higher power. And then life came and I decided I could have a little sugar, be fine. You know, for the next 20 years, my weight went crazy up and down. So I came into program quite desperate. I believe that was the first God shot here, which is that I went online and looked for a meeting because I don't know how that happened. And I got abstinent that first day, but as I like to say, it took 50 years for me to get there. It was not a miracle in that way, in any way. And I've lost, not in a linear way, but in the last 7 years, I've released about 70 pounds. And the first 50 came off, I was so desperate. I would do anything anyone said, anything you said, I did. I was still in the legal battle. And I did end up ending my divorce 50 pounds lighter than I started it, which is a miracle. I got a sponsor. I did literature. I went to 90 meetings in 90 days in person. Whatever I had to do, I did. And, you know, I just still sort of can't believe it. So it does work. It works if you work, and it works if you're, sometimes I needed to be desperate enough. But what was interesting, and I could tell you about my childhood, and I could tell you that my mom was a compulsive overeater, and I came from a loving family, and there was a lot of neglect, and all of those things are true, and they're wonderful to share so that people identify and say, yeah, you know, I was the youngest of 4 kids in 5 years. No one has 4 kids in 5 years. Like, who thinks that's a good idea? And, you know, they did the best they could, and I've had tons and tons of therapy and I've forgiven. But the truth of the matter was, here I was, and I needed to figure out how to live my life today. And, you know, I was really lucky to find this place. So the divorce happens 6 months after I give up. I have 2 children who are now, unbelievably to me, 16 and 21. And about what I'd like to share some of the miracles. I think I can tell you what works. That's not a problem. Use all the tools. Reach out. Ask for help when you need it. Find a food plan that, you know, has none of your alcoholic foods in it. And I'll talk about that in a little bit because I got last July, I was really given an extraordinary gift from my higher power, sort of for the next level of surrender. That's, you know, what's so cool is there's always another level of surrender to have. And I'm going to spend a bunch of my time talking about that because it's so freaking exciting and it's available to everyone. So I come into program, I'm losing weight, I'm going to meetings, I'm desperate, I'm terrified. And about 6 months in, my daughter at the time is 13 when I start, and she's really struggled with her weight, and she's definitely a sugar addict, more importantly. Who cares about the weight? The addiction was so strong. And about six, I just want to share this miracle. About 6 months into my program, my 13-year-old daughter said, "I'm going to give up sugar." And I said, "I think that's a terrible idea," because I was just afraid that would lead to a lifetime of yo-yo dieting and yo-yo trying to give up sugar or not. I mean, the poor kid's in seventh grade. Like, are you kidding? What kid can give up sugar in seventh grade? Well, 6 months later, she's given up sugar and she has found a serenity. And she now, for the first time in her life, knows when she's hungry and when she's not hungry. And, you know, yeah, she released some weight, but it really wasn't about that. I mean, it was and it wasn't. It was, you know, basically her blood sugar was level, right? And it was just unbelievable. And I said to her, "How'd you do it?" Like, teachers would literally bring in cupcakes for kids for their birthday and bring her fruit. If I was in seventh grade and that had happened, I would have been so embarrassed that I can't even fathom. And she said to me, "Well, you did it, so I figured I could do it." Talk about opportunity and responsibility. And when I was pregnant with her, I found a therapist. My therapist was away and I was desperate. I was like, "I need to speak to somebody right now." And I went to this wise older therapist. He'd been around forever. He'd seen it all. And I went to him saying, "I'm terrified. I'm going to pass on my weight problem to my child." I didn't know it was an addiction. And I'm just terrified. I'm terrified. I'm terrified. And he said to me, lots of things, and I don't remember any of them except for one. He said to me, "Maybe you won't." And I was like, this man, I thought he was smart. Like, obviously I'm going to. How could I possibly not? And it was the only thing I remember him saying to me in the entire session. And here I was then, you know, what would I say? You know, almost 14 years later. And I was like, "Oh, maybe I won't." So I think I'm so smart and that I know how everything is going to go, and my fears are real. My fears are not actually what are going to happen. And I share this little example because, yes, this happened to be my daughter, but because of all of the people who were in program who had done it and who were living happier and more joyous and more free and out of faith and into fear, they had done just what I had done for my daughter, which was, "Well, you did it, so I thought I could." That's what all of you did for me. "You did it, so I thought I could." I mean, I could cry. And you all started, you know, I came in and you're all pretty happy and welcoming and friendly. And so I'm crying in the back. I'm hysterical, the divorce, money, my body. And everyone's like, "You're going to be fine." Like, are they their minds? I don't know, but I had no other choice. So I just want to say that when I call a newcomer, or you call a newcomer, or someone took my call, or I took someone's, it was the same thing. It's because you showed that it's possible. So I just want to share my gratitude for that. And that leads me to the next part, which is what's really worked for me: service. And my higher power has an extraordinary sense of humor. I like to say my higher power knows I'm really dense, so they've got to make it super obvious. You know, I think that the first 50 pounds came off out of incredible desperation, and that was wonderful. But then there was this 20, which Listen, my doctor was thrilled. And she's like, look, it would be better if you release some more, but this is great. Don't gain it back, right? Because that was her fear, because that's what typically happens with people who lose weight like that. You know, and I had done OptiFast over the, I mean, I had done everything. So all she ever saw was me lose it and gain it back. And I was like, okay. So I go, I have a few sponsors. My abstinence began as no sugar, no flour. It is still, that is still my abstinence. I teetered very close to the cliff around those things, but I've never had those, I've never had, you know, regular flour and sugar or honey or, you know, things of those. And that's amazing. I mean, I don't know if we can talk about food, but I have a 16-year-old boy here. You know how much ice cream and cookies I have in this house? Can you believe they have nothing to do with me? I mean, I don't even know what to tell you people. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's not logic. It's definitely not me. So this is what happens. I give up those things. I have three lovely, wonderful sponsors over the years. And the pandemic hits. And I go to a meeting in New York City two or three times a week in pre-COVID, and in the morning before work. And I'm usually a little bit late, but I get, it's like, I always think it's like I got a hit of a meeting, even if I got half an hour. The meeting was only 45 minutes anyway. And this group decides to go online, like everyone at the pandemic. And I, this pandemic that's going to last a couple of weeks. And I innocently offer to use my Zoom account, which is really, this is the clever God part for me. Because if you, at the time when I didn't even really know how Zoom worked, I just had it for work. If you use, you know, I had to show up. I had to open the meeting. I had to mute people because, you know, we were just a little group. There were 10 of us. And we didn't have a script. And I tried to remember the script because it was locked in the church. And I had to show up. Well, I think it's about 1,300 days later or so. And I would say if the and it was a 5-day-a-week meeting. And the Zoom one, we decided, let's just make it 7 days because we have a Zoom account anyway. I would say of the 1,300 days that that meeting's happened, I've probably been there 1,200 days. My God knows that I need a meeting every day. I need to be able to show up. And for the first year, I was the host. I mean, it's in, you know, COVID was crazy on so many levels, right? But it got me out of bed. It got me on screen. It got me connecting with people because now that meeting, I think there are something like 45 volunteer positions every quarter that need to be filled. And I've had quarters, I don't do anything. I am absolutely delighted to just be there. And, you know, I don't know, I'm sure it's crosstalk. I'm going to be careful. But the person here who asked me to speak was one of the warriors who made that meeting happen and who created that extraordinary welcoming environment that's led to, you know, I can't believe it's 5 a.m. in New York and there are 72 of you here with me. Like, forget 7:15. Let me bow down to all of you. It's incomprehensible, but it shows the power of what we can do together. And I'm sorry if I'm a little bit all over, but I just want to talk about the physical recovery is great, but it's not really about that. It's about God for me. And my God is so loving and it makes me cry. And my God is so kind. And this is a spiritual program. And for some, it's not the word God. And for some, it's universe. And for some, it's nature. So please know that when I say God, I don't mean to exclude anyone. I am talking about something greater than me. And thank God there's something greater than me. Because when I was in charge, things weren't going very well. And my God got me into service. My God got me to connect with people on a daily basis around the world. Look at all of you. That's crazy, around the world. And so last July, I ended a relationship that was really, really not serving me. And believe me, my fellows in OA were like, it wasn't serving me for quite some time. But they were kind and patient and loving, just like they were with me around the food or about whether I could have the capacity to pray or meditate. You guys are so patient, so unbelievably patient, just like my higher power is so unbelievably patient. So I'm looking for a new sponsor for a bunch of reasons. I managed to pick a new sponsor who I decided would be the best. And I say that with air quotes, because somebody I liked, who probably should have just asked to sponsor me, it was their sponsor. And my A plus, my, with a capital, and my A plus idea was like, well, they're good. Can you imagine how good their sponsor must be? Anyway, I managed to pick another narcissist, which is my history in my life. But I was able to also say, actually, this isn't working for me anymore. So I was looking for a new sponsor. And someone from my morning meeting, who I really admire their program, emailed they were coming into New York and did I want to go for a walk in the park. And I had decided, because I'm so smart on Zoom, that this person didn't like me. What the heck? Like, what does that even mean? It was crazy. So I was shocked that they asked if I wanted to go for a walk, because I was sure they didn't like me. So my disease is still alive and well 8 years later. Well, we end up going for a walk in the park, and I was like, I'll give it an hour of time. And it was another fellow there too. We talked and walked for 4 hours, and we talked about program, and we talked about surrender, and we talked about tools, and we talked about God. And it was the most beautiful day. And as we were getting at the 4 hour mark, and I'm carrying my breakfast in my bag because I thought we were walking for an hour and I'd have it after, I said, I need to stop and get my breakfast out of my bag. So I take my bag and I put it on a bench. And in New York City, there are, let's say, 5,000 benches in Central Park. And each one has a plaque that someone's paid to endow for someone, you know, happy birthday, grandma, all the memories we have here, you know, lots of beautiful. And I always look, because they usually touch me. And I put my bag down and I'm like, should I ask? And it's a guy. And should I ask him to sponsor me? And how do you know? And the other friend says, you know, why don't you pray on it? Pray on it and ask if you should ask him. And I'm sure it's going to be annoying and hard to see, and I will read this anyway, but just in case any of you can see it, I want to share it. I put my bag down. I gently glance at the bench, and this is what it says. It says, what you hear here stays here. And I mean, I have a chill and want to cry every time I share it. I mean, okay, hey, would you be my sponsor? When I surrender, when I actually surrender and I remember to ask God what I should do next, everything works out way better than I could have ever, ever imagined. In that surrender, thank you, sweetheart. In that surrender, I finally got, for the first time at that point in 7.5 years, what my true, true, true abstinence is. And let me talk a little bit about what works in that for me. Now I eat only my bright, shiny green foods. I don't have yellow. I don't have red. I think of it not as what I don't eat, but what I do eat. And when I think of it about as what I do eat, life is abundant and full, and I can go anywhere and say, oh my God, look at all these things I eat. Rather than, I don't eat the pasta. I don't eat the, no, I eat the branzino and I eat the this. And it changed everything, because there was no more, it was never a negative thing anymore. And I eat 3 incredibly abundant meals a day. I mean, abundant, he always says it's not a, you know, he goes from feast to feast to feast. It's a story I tell myself that's not of deprivation, but that's of abundance. And I still go to a meeting every day. And then, by the way, the point, what I wanted to add is, once I truly, truly accepted what my red, green foods are, I released the 20 pounds with ease. And everyone said, oh, it'll come off when God's ready. And I was like, yeah, well, I'd like that to be now, if you wouldn't mind. Turns out it wasn't up to me. So I'm at my healthiest body weight. I just ended that relationship because I surrendered in faith that there would be someone else. If it was right for me, for there to be someone else. I'm now in the healthiest relationship with a kind, loving, unbelievable person, which I could have spent 20 minutes talking about the miracle about how that happened because I left the seat next to me open. And even though I'm still in struggle, you know what? I call people and ask for help and say, what do I do? What does all this mean? So I just want to leave you. Thank you. I see my time. I just want to leave you with this works. I get to surrender every single part of my life to my higher power who operates through you, through my meditation and through my prayer. And I still got lots of challenges, but they're not the ones I had, and they're just life. And I have faith that whatever comes my way, I'm not alone. And I don't have to do it the way I did it. And, you know, I look forward to talking to you in another 8 years saying, you're not going to believe what's happened now because I surrendered a little bit more. So thank you all for your patience and your love and your time and your being here, because that is service too. Bless you all.